You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Welcome back to the Horse Healthcast by Smart Equine. This is Ashley Lecomte-Lozich, head of R&D for Smart Equine.
And this is Jenna Bosgarden, manager of digital marketing. And coming up on today's show, we're going to talk about feeding, supplements, and why they matter or even if they matter. And in our Meet the Pack segment, we're going to chat with one of our fantastic customer care members, Caitlin Clausen.
Smart solutions, trusted voices, your source for equine health and wellness. This is Horse Healthcast by Smart Equine. The discussions in this podcast are intended for educational and informational purposes and are not intended as veterinary advice. You should always consult with a licensed veterinarian or qualified equine health professional before making changes to your horse's diet or care plan. Hosts and guests cannot guarantee the reliability, accuracy, or completeness of the info shared, and as such, these discussions are not a substitute for veterinarian or professional guidance, and any actions you take are at your own risk. Products discussed on this podcast are not endorsed by Smart Equine and are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any medical issue.
Okay, so we're going to talk a whole bunch about supplements in this episode, a whole bunch about nutrition, which I know you're super excited about. But before we get into it, I want us to predict something for later in the show. We obviously work for a supplement company. We talk about them all the time. Our customer care team talks about them all the time. Our customers talk about them all the time. But what do you think is the most recommended supplement that we talk about with our customers? I have my prediction, but I want you to put out one and then I'll put out mine. And then later on, we'll talk about what
the actual answer is. Wait, me or the listeners? Is this
You got to do it. Okay. Listeners at home, yeah, you guys put in your predictions too, okay. But I want to test
listeners, put in your predictions. Okay, I'm gonna think about this. So, I mean, I don't know. When I think about supplements, there's like the nutrient supplements, like vitamins, minerals, and then like the functional-based supplements, like joint and gastric. So I'm going to put out two ideas. I'm going to do one in the nutrient category and then one in the functional category. So, oh God. Okay. Most likely to be recommended.
Yes.
All right. I'm going to say SmartVite Thrive.
Okay. Okay.
As the nutrient. And then I'm going to say Smart Digest Ultra as the functional. Those are my two. I'm locked in. I'm ready. Right. SmartVite Thrive and SDU. Those are my guesses.
All right. We've got that noted for later. And then I already know the answer, but before I went and checked on it, I had my own prediction, which was Smart Hoof. And that's because in my 5 years on customer care, I swear I talked about hooves more than anything else, but maybe I was just like a magnet for it. Who knows?
I mean, hooves are important. You know, they walk on horse them all day.
I love that. Okay, great.
So we've got Hoof.
Yep, Smart Hoof, SmartVite Thrive, and Smart Digest Ultra are the three predictions, right?
Love it.
All right,
we're going to come back to this, you say, at the end?
Yes.
Jenna has the answers.
Stay tuned for more. So we're going to actually talk about supplements a little bit first before we get into all of that, because I want to give everybody kind of a foundation in case they don't know a lot or they want to learn more.
Yeah.
So first, we're going to hit you with the biggest question possibly of the day, which is, do horses really need supplements?
Yeah, of course. This comes up all the time, right? Obviously, I'm a huge proponent of forage-based diets, right? I think that when we treat animals like the way that they were treated in God's green earth, the way that it was designed, I feel like it always turns out better, right? So we start with a really solid forage-based diet. And then the question is like, is that enough? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. So we know that even in the best forage-based diets, there's a lot of commonalities in among various different grass haze, legume haze, but we're typically seeing some nutrient deficiencies in the areas of like copper, zinc, selenium, vitamin A, vitamin E, sometimes even like magnesium, manganese. The only two nutrients that are always, well, not nothing is always, nothing's 100%,
sure.
But the only two nutrients that are typically sufficient in forage-based diets are iron and potassium.
Interesting.
So other than that, there's like geographic differences, you know, based on the hay that you get. It is all based on the soil that it was grown in. So based on where your hay is coming from, you're going to have different nutrient profiles. So that changes things a lot. But oftentimes, you're going to see selenium, vitamin A, vitamin E deficiencies, copper, zinc. So when we talk about nutrient-based, vitamin and mineral complex-based supplements, Yeah, horses do need these sometimes, right? There's a likelihood that your horse is going to be deficient in something or another. Then, you know, we get to the functional-based ones, and those are obviously a little bit more subjective. Does my horse need help with his, you know, his hooves, like you had just mentioned? Does my horse need help with his joints? Or his stomach, his digestive system. So those are going to be, we're relying on help from our farrier, from our vet, from the trusted professionals that are treating and helping us along our journey every day. Of course, I'm giving a biased opinion. Of course, I think that horses need supplements. I have two horses. Their smart packs are very full. And it's not just because I work here. It's, I see how the sausage is made. I know what's in them. And I truly do believe in the science behind many of them. And just like with humans, right? Do our multivitamins actually do things? If you have deficiencies, sure. But if you're asking me, like, does glucosamine actually help joint health? Oh, for sure. So I think it's a very individual case, but horses are certainly going to be deficient in many things based on where they live and what type of diets they get. So supplementation is not, the snake oil that people think it is. Like, there is a really strong science behind it.
Yeah, which is awesome. And it's like you said, and I think that's really important, is that it's not that your horse is missing out on like an entire, section of life. It's that there's like certain things that there's going to be lower in that could be better and could be improved on. But I want to take one quick step back, because we talk about, or you talked about forage-based diets, which I think a lot of people have heard, but for people who maybe aren't as familiar with the term, like, what constitutes forage for horses? Is it just hay? Is it more than hay?
Yeah. I mean, forage is obviously going to be like a long stem, like leafy forage, like that's the ideal, right? So that can be, and I just used forage to define forage, so not a great actually circular reasoning, here we go. But I mean, it could be alfalfa cubes, hay cubes, pasture. I mean, if you have really nice lush green pasture year round, your horse probably will stay really nice and healthy on that, and you're not going to need to supplement with additional hay. If you're in a place like an arid place like Arizona, where you're not getting nice green pasture, you're probably going to have to feed a lot of hay. So forage based is, it's just going to be long stem grasses or legumes of some sort. So anything that is not like a pelleted complete feed, right? And then I believe that grain and supplements are then tools to kind of act as the mortar that fills in all of the nooks and crannies that the hay doesn't get to. Because a horse should be eating like 25 plus pounds of forage a day. That should be the cornerstone of their diet. And then everything else that's added on top of that is, the levers and the buttons that we're pushing to make sure that their nutrient profile is as seamless as possible.
Okay, so that makes sense. So you start with literally a bed of hay, and then you can build on top of that with grain, which leads me to believe that a grain-based diet is also not sufficient and maybe is worse than a forage-first diet.
There are certainly, I mean, there's camps of this, right? So this is definitely just my opinion.
Sure.
I'm sure there are horses out there that get, 10 pounds of grain at every feeding, and you, particularly like sometimes in the racehorse industry, they get a lot of grain, but that's also because they need a lot of energy. So
those are some
exactly. So I think that, there are different camps of belief, but what we do know is that horses anatomically and physiologically speaking, horses were designed to graze. That is how their bodies were built. That is how their stomachs were built. That's why they're constantly secreting juices into their stomach to help that ever inbound, flow of forage, right? So they have even their teeth, right? They were designed to be grinding hay. That is how their bodies were built. So if we're trying to keep them as close to their naturally designed diets as possible to, keep them aligned with how their bodies were designed, we know that forage first is certainly the ideal way to begin building a diet. And like you said, grain and supplements then are kind of added on top of that bed. Yeah,
and it makes sense. Like, we know that horses are unique, all of them, in so many ways.
Yeah.
But like, same thing with feeding them. Like, it's not going to be a one size fit all. So for anybody out there who's like, well, my horse gets X amount of pounds of grain and he looks great, I love that for you. I love that for your horse. I want to continue doing that. This is just a kind of general, like you said, like anatomically, physiology, like, this is what we know. So just putting that out there for folks, because I know sometimes I'll hear something and be like, oh, but my horse did great on this. It's like, that's great. He did great. That's what matters.
Like, okay, this is like a total personal thing here, but like as a breastfeeding mom right now, I have this inclination to say like, fed is best. Keep your horse fed, right? Like fed is best. And then like, you know, there are obviously optimal ways. But if your horse is fed, you're doing a great job. You know, we're just discussing here how you could be optimizing what you're feeding them and, you know, tinkering with their diets to find the best way to keep them performing at their best.
Yeah, totally. I think that's a great way of saying it. And kind of keeping us moving on with this too, because I think you and I could talk about like forage and unique individual case and things like for hours, but just making sure that we're covering some other other topics too. So we know that even with like great forage all the time, there are still possible gaps that your horse can face, right? So like how do you know, like is there testing that we can do? Is there stuff we should be asking our vets about that you would recommend or that you've done that's worked out for you?
Yeah, absolutely. So I mean, think about it like in a human, if you or I had a vitamin A deficiency, our bodies would just tell us. And that's why you get cravings, right? Oh man, I really want carrots today. It's so weird. I usually don't eat a lot of carrots. And we just get to go to the fridge and pull out a carrot. And if we don't have carrots, we get to drive to the store and buy carrots.
Yep.
Horses are very much confined to what we offer them. They're pretty much stuck eating what we put in front of them. So we have to dig a little bit deeper to discover what deficiencies they might have. So obviously one route you can go is to pull blood work from your horse and, you know, get a nutrient panel to see what their nutrient levels look like. The downside of that is it is one point in time, right? You are only getting data from the moment that you pulled that blood sample, and it can change at any time. So it only gives you a snapshot, really, right? It's kind of the same thing I say about a Coggins test. It's like you're taking blood work from one moment in time, and it's only representative of that moment. But it's a great tool. And now you know, how my horse is low in vitamin A or vitamin E, and now I can build this ration around what they truly need. The other thing you can do is test your hay. And that's what I do.
Oh.
So my farm, we actually grow our own Timothy hay.
Which is like really cool.
Yeah, it is nice because it allows me to control everything that's going into them. So we do test our hay, and that gives me an idea of, and that's a little more static, right? Because I'm not getting a snapshot in time. I'm getting an idea of what is going into my horse. And that way I can build a ration around it. Now, there's downsides to that too, right? Most barns do not grow their own hay. So you're buying hay from, you know, you have to truck it in sometimes too, right? Like hay is coming from all over the place. So we've had summers actually where we've had some crop failure. 2023 in particular, we had like an overgrowth of Queen Anne's lace.
Oh God.
And we try not to use herbicides. So what are you going to do, right? We had to sell it. We had to cut it, sell it to cattle, and we had to buy hay. So that was the first time in a long time we had to buy hay. And I'll promise you what, it did not all come from one farm. So
no,
the horses in the barn, and listen, like the bales sometimes are getting mixed up. So we have 60 horses in our barn. Some horses are getting hay from Idaho. Some horses are getting hay from Montana. I mean, and that makes it really hard to control. So in that situation, you know, blood work is always blood work is probably going to be a better bet because you're getting acute information on your horse if you can't control the source of the forage that they're consuming. So pros and cons to both. I think that they both do lend really accurate data. It's just how you apply that data. Like one piece of data that's not reliable is like the hair test or like a saliva test.
Okay.
Yeah, we're typically not seeing super valid results from those two. I think that there's some work in progress. Some companies are trying to iron the kinks out of some of that science to see if we can make, because that is more accessible, right? Could you imagine doing like a cheek swab or pulling a chunk of your horse's hair instead of having to have a vet out to pull or draw blood?
It does sound real convenient to just be able to brush my horse and send in information about him.
I know. So maybe one day, you know, we can hope that those tests become a little bit more reliable. But until then, blood work and hay testing are going to be the crown jewels.
Yeah. I mean, I think the idea of just being able to test your hay, because I know I'm in New England, like we don't really grow anything out here but rocks. So it's a lot of trucking in hay from all over the place.
Yeah.
And it's like you said, it's not always the same farm. It's not always the same location. And even the bales from different locations can come at different quality. So there was always a lot of discussion, and like when the hay got delivered, we would go through the bales and kind of organize them by what we thought was going to be really quality and things. But being able to test it and really see always interesting, a little terrifying. But I know something we talked about a lot when I was on customer care was a program called Feed Excel. Mm-hmm. Smart Equine is not associated with it in any way. Like, we all just recommended it because we really liked it, and we're all super nerds too. So if you haven't heard of it, it's a program where you can go in and you can put in pretty much every detail about your horse. It's like age, breed, location of the country, like what their body weight condition is. Like, I'm pretty sure you can put in their zodiac sign somewhere, all of the feed that they get, every kind of hay that they've gotten in the last year.
Their social security number, the date of their firstborn son.
Their
all of important details. Okay.
Whatever warranties you have on them. All of it. So you can put all that in and it will give you information on what it now considers to be their diet. And it breaks it down by like vitamin and mineral and nutrient and things like that. And then it will suggest what it thinks can be helpful. Like, oh, we think it needs more vitamin A. We think you could use more C and things like that. And it's, again, nothing's foolproof.
Sure.
But that was a really great way for me to get started. And I'm so sorry to my vet, but also like bring the paperwork and be like, hey, Dr. Mark, like, here's a whole bunch of stuff. And he was like, oh God, girl, what are you doing? But
it allowed us to have,
I was trying, but he was really cool because he also allowed us to have a lot of conversations about what I found and then what he thought. And it made just kind of a more like collaborative effort on my horse's health, which was really fun. So blood work, hay testing, and Feed Excel for anybody out there who's looking to figure out more about how your horse is doing, right?
Yeah. Okay, hold on. I'm going rogue here, and you'll have to keep me honest because you're on customer care and you know more than I do. But I think there's some type of functionality on our website where you can see, like, if you have different products in your Smart Pack, it will compile all of the nutrient totals across all of your offerings, right? I think.
So I haven't been on customer care in like 5 years, but
I think that's real.
You're right. And you know, we have an interview coming up later with Caitlin, who is currently on customer care, and we're going to grill her on that one.
I think that's a real thing. Like, if you have seven products in your Smart Pack and all seven wells are filled, there's a chance that there's overlapping nutrients between those. And I think that there is a calculator that will spit out like your nutrient totals for your whole Smart Pack, not just each individual product. Don't quote me on that. Let's ask Caitlin, but I think that that's true.
Yeah, stay tuned for that, guys. We're going to make sure we're going to get the true insider down in the weeds every day using it information from her. But yeah, I kind of forget that we have a lot of those like bells and whistles on the site too. So that was a good call out. We love
a good call out if it's true, though.
Remember the disclaimer at the beginning if this proves to not be it. We're just people. We're not
vets. We're just horse girls. Cool. Well, I mean, Jenna, do you think that there, like, if you could offer one supplement that you think every horse should be on, what would you say it is?
We honestly don't have enough time to talk about this supplement, but from when I was on customer care to now being on marketing, anytime I talk to a human being that has seen a horse in their life, I'm like, have you heard the good word of Smart Essentials? It is my go-to for if you're just like, hey, my horse is great. I'm like, but could they be greater? So for anybody who doesn't know it, Smart Essentials is one of our great vitamin and mineral supplements combined with omega support. So for my horses in my lifetime, we don't get a lot of great turnout in New England. The place that I'm at is phenomenal. It has really good turnout, but it's still New England turnout. And the girls who know. So omega is super important. And vitamins and minerals just mean that I feel a lot better about bridging anything that I'm missing in the other diet. And he's on a whole bunch of stuff in my horse's lifetime, but that is the one that like I never got rid of. I never swapped out. I never changed. That's the one that I tell everybody, like, here's where you start and then we can go from there.
Love it.
But what do you got? What's the one that you tell everybody about?
I sound like a broken record every time anyone asks me anything. I don't think it's one. It's not like a one. If I had to pick only one, it would be magnesium, Smart and Simple magnesium. But I almost never recommend magnesium without vitamin E and selenium. So I would, if someone came to me and said like, hey, I'm eager to learn about supplementation. Here's why I think my horse might need a supplement. What do you think? Start with magnesium. irritability, excitability, big issues like thumps, head shaking. So many things boil down to magnesium deficiencies. And one, we learned earlier when we talked about forage-based diets that magnesium is a common deficiency in forage during certain times of the year, especially during like early spring growth. Excessive calcium or potassium can actually interfere with magnesium absorption. So like relatively common deficiency there. And then one that I don't think that people realize a lot is that like intensive exercise actually can result in magnesium deficiency. And horses in like super heavy training require magnesium intake to be increased. I learned that the hard way when I was conditioning for AECs in 2023, and Andy ended up with a magnesium deficiency. So maybe my recommendation is a personal bias because both of my horses are on like 10,000 mgs of magnesium. but I think that it's like my first go-to if you're having behavioral issues. Like if your horse is super excitable all of a sudden and that like scary corner of the indoor arena is now scarier, magnesium. Yeah. And then always, I guess not always, but typically I'm recommending that along with the vitamin E and selenium. Like if someone says like, oh, my horse's coat is kind of rough and he's, you know, I've already done my fecal for this season and, or I've just dewormed and, you know, everything was good there, but why is his coat dull and looking icky? I'm all vitamin E. Like that's the first thing I go to. So between those three, I mean, I think you can't really go wrong.
So what I'm hearing is that I should be on magnesium.
Listen, I would highly recommend every person, every living being deserves a little magnesium treat. A little sweet treat.
I start to sound real relaxed in upcoming episodes. It's the magnesium.
Yeah. I mean, it's required for, you know, proper muscle function, cognition. I mean, magnesium, nothing is a silver bullet, but like magnesium holds a really special place in my heart as a very effective compound.
Yeah, that's really cool. And I feel like that's a really interesting one to know too, because like a lot of times, like we work here, we know the supplements can get expensive. If you have seven wells, if you have four supplements, if you have just a lot going on that you want to support, A, good for you, but B, like it does add up. So if you want to start somewhere, if you want to start somewhere affordable, like magnesium's a great place to go.
I'm looking it up on the website right now. In smart packs, it is 53 cents a day.
So, stop.
I mean, I just bought a $7 cinnamon dolce latte. So
I was thinking just thinking about what my coffee cost this morning. I was like, oh, no.
Literally 53 cents a day. Yeah. And both of mine are on that. Like, this is one that I don't just talk about. Like, I actually use it and I'm getting like, I have no vested interest in whether you choose to use it or not. I just think it's fantastic. And most people that I've actually have a friend at my barn whose horse, she believes this horse to have trigeminal neuralgia. And
see, that was a lot of syllables.
Sorry. Trigeminal neuralgia, head shaking syndrome.
Okay.
Right. So they're it's kind of like this elusive thing. And like the true trigeminal neuralgia is some type of impingement of the trigeminal nerve, like as it makes its way through the facial structures. But I think new literature is suggesting that some cases of what has been diagnosed as trigeminal neuralgia is actually just a magnesium deficiency.
No.
Like subclinical head-shaking syndrome now is being treated with magnesium. Yeah. And like it's more nose-flicky than it is like true head-shaking syndrome. So obviously there's a difference there. And if your horse actually has trigeminal neuralgia, like, you know, consult with your vet. Magnesium is a great place to start. I think that a lot of problems can be solved with it. And I will now end my gushy soapbox on magnesium.
I will add one more piece to that, though, before we fully step off. And that was when I taught beginner lessons, which was some of the best years of my life. All of our ponies were on some form of magnesium support. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember. Everybody got something a little bit different because bigger ponies, smaller ponies, different mare vibes. But like it was a noticeable difference when we forgot to reorder it for a month and how much more work the lesson riders had to do versus when the ponies were on it and they were much happier to do their jobs. So shout out to magnesium. I kind of forgot about that until you were talking about it, brought it up again. So yeah, a lot of good options, but that's a great one to start with. But now that we've talked about our most recommended, we're gonna circle back as promised.
Excited.
Right. Drumroll. So our guesses for the most recommended supplement from our Smart Equine team, right? This is not most recommended like across the country. I don't have that data. If somebody has that data, let me know. But for Smart Equine most recommended supplement, I said it was Smart Hoof. You said Smart Vite Thrive or Smart Digest Ultra, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we got to get you a prize or something because it's Smart Digest Ultra.
Stop it right now.
Yeah, that's the one that across the board customer care talks about all the time. It's what they recommend the most. And I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I do think it's in like our top five of like what we sell year over year, like not even just recently. And we're going to have to do a whole different episode.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's a lot of reasons why. And
yeah, we can't even start
also on Smart Digest Ultra. So, well, firstly,
that is one that my horse lived on.
Yeah, it's a good one. Yeah. And just a nugget for the listeners is it is our most affordable Colicare eligible product. So that'll have to lead into another episode where we dive into the awesomeness that is Colicare. But
because that'll take us at least one episode, if not more.
Yeah, that's a good one. Oh my gosh, I'm proud of myself. Pats on back.
I feel like just another credential to add to all the things you've got going for you here.
Good guesser.
And then wonderful. One of the last things that I want to make sure that we hit on, because we've talked about all these things that we can look out for and we can do and we can test and we can add and things like that. But for somebody who's sitting here being like, well, how do I even know if my horse needs something before I go into all the testing? Like, are there signs that you think people should look out for? I know I'll give an anecdote or two about how I knew my horses needed it, but to start from the science background, like, what do you look out for when you're watching your horses and you're like, maybe they need support?
I mean, the first thing I look for is like change, right? Like any kind of change in what is their baseline. If your horse is usually a kick ride and suddenly they're zippy, we might have an issue. If your horse usually needs a ported pelham to stop them on cross country and suddenly you can't get them to move, problem. So obviously like stark changes in disposition, changes in their coat. If they're getting super dull, if they're starting to get like a rough, icky looking coat, poor behavior, lethargy. I just look out for like changes. You know your horse. You spend so much time with this animal every single day, every single week, and you know them like the back of your hand. When something doesn't feel quite right, your gut tells you, and you're like, this doesn't seem typical of Andy, or this doesn't seem typical of Tilly. I want to start investigating. You know, oftentimes we look at, do they need to get their teeth floated or their saddle fit changed?
Sure.
And I just want to encourage everyone to also consider their diet. Like sometimes it's something as simple as tweaking their vitamin and mineral complex or getting a salt lick that has, a different profile in it. So it can really be that simple. So yeah, just keep a lookout on your horse, keep a good tab on them, run your hands over them every day and, get to know them, study them.
Yeah, all those excellent tips. And then two, what I thought seemed like random behaviors with my horses over the years, it turned out to be an actual supplement need that I thought was really interesting is growing up, I lived in Michigan, had this super great appendix horse that was like consistent as the day was long. And well, except for when he spooked, but that's when he came still. He was great. He was a great teacher. But there was a time when I went to go catch him from his big, giant grass field. Like, this guy lived the life. And he was licking dirt. Mm. And I was like 12. I was like, haha, how funny. My horse is being weird. And I saw it, two more times over the next couple of weeks. And I mentioned it to my trainer. I was like, yeah, he's been licking dirt. Like, what a weirdo. And she's like, wait, what do you mean licking dirt? And we talked about it.
Hi,
talked to the vet, pulled blood. And do you know what he was missing?
If I had to guess, I would say copper.
So yes, and copper, and then magnesium and selenium, which we've already talked about in this episode, which is so cool. Like, I love that you brought those up as like really poignant building blocks, because we put him on I don't think it even exists anymore. It was called like Great Lakes Blend, because we lived in Michigan, and all of a sudden that horse was shinier, fatter, wasn't a hard keeper anymore, and never looked dirt. And like, we changed his diet up too, but I thought that was so freaking cool that like one thing started. And fun fact, we ordered it from what was then Smart Pack.
Love that.
Full circle moment. And then my most recent horse, a little bit faster, but we bought him, we brought him home, and he wasn't looking the same. And his stall was starting to get really messy. His mane and tail were all of a sudden just not as shiny. Put him on Smart Essentials, which did a good amount. But then like 4 or 5 months later, when I was like, there's still something missing, put him on Smart Digest Ultra. All of a sudden, his stall was super. I mean, there was poop in it. It is a stall, but it was all at the back of the stall, and it wasn't cow pies. And his coat was shiny. His mane started growing, and I kept him on the two of those until the day I watched him cross the Rainbow Bridge. Like those were the ones that it's the hill that I will die on along with him. So,
but like what I'm noticing about both of your stories is you're studying your horse's behavior. You're paying very yeah. close attention to everything that he's doing, including like where he's pooping in his stall. Like, and these details seem really fickle and irrelevant, but they're not, because your horse can't speak English. And the only way that you get to uncover when there are issues is by paying really close attention to all the details that they're showing you. So
everybody out there who's like weird horse girls are doing too much. Like, you're not. You're doing just enough.
You're not doing too much. Job. Yeah. Well, bravo to you for paying close attention and, you know, helping solve some problems that may have gone unnoticed if you didn't pick up that he was licking the dirt.
Yeah, horses. Sometimes they're not weird to be weird. Who right. knew? Well, that's pretty much, I think, all we have time for, because Ashley and I can talk way too long about all of these things. And we're trying to keep these to a reasonable amount of time for people to listen to while they clean stalls or fill water buckets. But Ashley, if I can ask if there's anything that you would have people take away from this episode, I can do mine first if you want. But if there's anything that you want people to take away with, I'm going to let you say to that. For me, it's what you just said. It's watch, pay attention. Take mental notes. If something's weird, see something, say something, right? Like, I think there's nothing more important than that when you're a horse person who loves your horse as much as I know everybody does.
Yeah, truly it kind of all boils down to that. I would say the same thing. If I had to add another thing, it would be going back to like my refrigerator comment, is that, you know, your horse relies on you to put the right food in front of them. So, you know, they can't go to the refrigerator and pull out a carrot when they're vitamin A deficient. So, you know, making sure that you're your horse's best advocate and that you're doing your absolute best to fill in all of the gaps that they may have. You be your horse's fridge, you know, find a way to offer them everything that they could possibly need. That was a lot of things. You said one statement. You know, I'm
no, I love it, because I think I'm going to put be your horse's fridge.
Be your horse's refrigerator. That's good. We should make bumper stickers.
There we go. Add it to a new graphic tee.
Love it. Yes.
Well, that is all for me and Ashley for right now. We are going to touch base with Caitlin from Customer Care next and learn all about her and her horses and maybe this magical feature of the website that Ashley and I may or may not be lying about. Who knows? Stick around. We'll find out next.
Love it.
Okay, everybody, thanks for sticking around. We are back and we're going to talk to Caitlin Clausen from Customer Care. But before I even try to get started, Caitlin, do you want to just give us an intro, who you are and what you do here?
Yeah. Hi, Jenna. Thank you for interviewing me, first of all. I'm so excited. I'm really excited about this new podcast as well.
Yeah, me too. I'm glad to have you.
So my name is Caitlin. I work in Customer Care. I am a customer service representative. So if you are calling Smart Talk, Smart Equine, now known as Smart Equine.
We're still getting used to it.
Yeah. If you're calling us, or if you shoot us a text message or pull up a chat on our website, you might be talking to me, because I'm the person who answers those. I have been with Smart Equine. Oh my goodness. I am still getting used to it. I've been here for just at a year. And
Smart Equiniversary.
Thank you. We had a little party with my cohort that I came in with. And I have two horses. I have Gabriel Eugene, who is my 30-year-old thoroughbred gelding.
Oh my gosh, 30.
He has a middle name because he's the naughtiest horse alive. And then I lease a mare named Belle, who is the most perfect, angelic, sent straight from heaven red mare who has ever existed on this planet.
So you have the gelding mischief maker and the red mare who's the angel.
Yes, it is like a complete, he's a bay gelding too. Everyone's like, oh, bay geldings. And I'm like, no, my bay gelding is a criminal. It's a problem.
So, well, I mean, to make it to 30, he must have had some really great stories in all of those years, too. There's like, okay, you call him a criminal. Is there like one crime in particular that you would say like encapsulates Gabe? Or is there one that he does recurring? Ooh, that could be good, too.
His recurring crime is just like leaving wherever he is. No. And it has gotten better, because when we first moved to the barn, he was obsessed with the front gate. And so he once left and like exited the property.
Oh, and like the gate to the whole place.
The gate to the whole place. He went down to the village down the road and like
stop it.
caused terror. We had to call the sheriff's deputies to help us catch him. And he had a halter and lead rope on the entire time.
Of course,
and
yeah.
And he's just running free. I'm freaking out. I was supposed to leave for Europe on a work trip in like 12 hours.
Stop.
And he is just like having the time of his life.
He said, if you get to go on a trip, I get to take a trip.
Precisely. He has gotten better. He has a girlfriend that lives next to him now. So now when he escapes, he goes to his girlfriend. But it is a semi-common occurrence for people to see Gabriel just like trotting back to his pasture, lead rope dangling, because when he decides he doesn't want to do something, he just rips himself from my hands.
What a king. I kind of respect him for it.
Honestly, he was so, like, he had the best ground manners until about 2 years ago when I started itching him closer to retirement. And now that he doesn't have a real job, he's like, I don't have to do anything you say, ma'am. Nothing.
You know, good for him. Good for him using his retirement to his, like, full capability. You know, like, he's out there. He's making new friends. He's finding new places.
He's living his best life. And it's crazy because it's interesting. You guys were talking about, like, forage-first diets earlier.
Yeah. And, like, we know not every horse can do it, but it is something that we definitely talked about on the podcast. But, I mean, Gabe's hit 30, so, like, what's your secret sauce?
Yeah. Well, like, that's the thing. Like, Gabe doesn't go to like fine grass because he has no top teeth and he has no molars at this point, basically. So he's not out looking for grass when he runs away. He's just escaping to go enjoy the world. But I am really proud of the way he looks. We've worked really hard on his nutrition. He gets Equine Senior from Purina. Okay. Yep. My barn's a Purina barn. So he gets like 14 pounds of that a day, which is, I say that to people and they're like, oh my gosh, that's so much grain.
I mean, he's a big dude. He needs to fill his belly, and especially if he can't get grass.
Exactly. And what's interesting is it's a complete feed. So you can feed it at those levels because it has roughages in it.
Yep.
And then to help balance that out, he does get two additional meals of like just alfalfa pellets.
Oh, that's nice.
But when I tell people his diet, like a lot of people are like, oh my gosh, that is so much. But
hey, if it's working for him and he looks great, then like Ashley said earlier, fed is best.
Yeah, it works for him. And you know what? I think, you know, Gabe has always been a unique horse. And so this is the diet that works and we just go with it.
And so if he's as unique as he is, what is in his smart pack? What additional health sprinkles do we give him throughout the day?
So he is on the Equinox 365 program, which
I love that.
So he is getting the Smart Itch Ease because he is, I call him the itchiest horse alive. We still don't know if he's actually itchy or if he just likes being scratched.
Okay.
It could be. He does love belly scratches. We know that.
Oh, that's so cute.
But we are, it's unclear. It's unclear. So he gets the Smart Itch Ease, which does seem to help his skin through the summertime. Cause he does have a little bit of a bug allergy. And he gets the Elevate SE.
And that's a vitamin E, right?
That's vitamin E. It's a natural vitamin E that also has selenium in it.
Ooh, nice.
When we balance his diet, he needs like just like 0.5 more milligrams of selenium. And I love the Elevate SE because it gives you an entire milligram and stays balanced with the natural vitamin E.
That's awesome.
He also gets cocoa hoof pellets, which are far and away, like if you had to ask me, like, Caitlin, what's your like one supplement you love? Cocoa Hoof used to be made by Euclid, now made by Spart Equine. Absolutely the best.
I feel like that's an undersung hero, too. So I love that you have that one.
He's a barefoot thoroughbred, and he's been barefoot his whole life with
me. Which is crazy impressive.
Right? When we talk one of a kind, I'm like, no. Like, he's one of a kind. Like, through the junior jumpers, like, through, like, coming to college with me, pretending to event, doing some pretend dressage stuff, trail riding. He has been barefoot and he just needs like a really nice baseline of support for hooves to keep his hooves healthy. And Cocoa Hoof is great because it is, I could talk forever about it, but it is like got all the stuff to help skin and coat as well as hoof support.
Right. So you're getting a little bit extra out of it too, which is nice.
Yeah. Especially through the summertime when he's got those itchies. He also gets Arthroxygen powder.
That's a good one too.
Yeah. Another one formerly from Euclid, now from Smart Equine. It comes in a pellet as well, but he eats mush, obviously, because he's a toothless wonder.
I might as well.
Yeah, so we get the powder for him, and I have really loved it. It isn't USF legal, because it does have devil's claw in it, but at 30,
good call out. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, you know what, Gabriel, we'll just retire from competition, I guess, at this point.
Yeah, just, you might as well, give him the opportunity to really enjoy. So funny.
We can have 17 years of retirement. We calculated it. 17 years of retirement. And then we can do our century ride with USDF. So
perfect. Let the countdown begin.
Yeah. And then my other absolute favorite, Leg Up Electrolyte pellet.
Oh, that is a real good one.
Mm-hmm. I cannot tell you how many buckets of electrolytes I bought from local feed stores trying to get the source to eat electrolytes.
Really?
And he is a garbage disposal.
Electrolytes were not for him.
He doesn't like fake apple flavor. And this is cherry.
Oh.
And he is like, he will lick it out of my hand. It's in his smart packs. I keep one of the like small bags in the back of my car because if anybody's ever, you know, seeming like they feel a little colicky or if it's a cold day for some reason, I'm always like, here,
hit him up with an electrolyte. Can't hurt.
Enjoy this cherry treat.
Yeah, that's so funny. I love that that's the one that worked for him, though.
Yeah, it is awesome.
And so while we're on the subject of the smart packs and what you put in their packs, Ashley and I were talking about this earlier, and I really hope we did not make liars of ourselves, but maybe you can confirm. Is there, in fact, a tool on the Smart Equine website that tells you, like, the nutritional content, or, like, the ingredient content of everything that you've put in? So, like, Gabe has, like, four or five things in his smart pack. If you look at it, can you see, like, how much magnesium and how much selenium he's getting from all that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, so, thank God we didn't lie.
Yeah. It's actually, like, if you go to the My Pack section, and I use this sort of semi-regularly, it's under the billing and shipping information. It'll say Smart Pack Details, View Ingredient Totals, and you can see them by ingredient or by supplement. I typically look at it by ingredient, and it's interesting. I actually use this more for Belle.
Okay.
Because I lease her from my barn. And so, forgive me, anything that's in her smart pack, I need to run through my barn manager.
Oh, that makes sense.
This is a really easy tool. My barn manager has a million things on her plate. And so I can just pull it by ingredient, show her how much she's getting of everything rather than sending her a list of supplements and being like, oh, here's a list of supplements, figure out what's in there.
Yeah, this way she actually has the truly relevant information right at her fingertips.
Exactly. It's also great. I've used it with my vet, especially for Gabe, to go over his
again, diet, yeah, because they can't be expected to know every supplement, not when they also know like every health condition. Like, that's too much.
Exactly. Like, my vets are wonderful, so but I absolutely love this tool. It is one of my favorites.
I'm so glad it actually exists. And I love the ways that you use it too. I feel like I would not have thought of that before, but those are like really clever ways to just utilize the additional information you can get there. That's awesome.
Oh yeah. It is super helpful.
And so I know we've talked a little bit about Gabe, talked a little bit about Belle, we talked a little bit about the Smart Equine website. And before I let this run on too long, because I know you and I can go for quite a bit more time, I'm going to make sure that we wrap up on an appropriate amount of time with one more question. So we've talked about a couple of things with diet, with supplements that you love and things like that. But if there was like one thing you wished horse owners talked about more or knew more about, like what in your horse journey do you think you would give to horse owners if you could?
I would say having the confidence to do what works best for your horse.
Yeah.
Because I think, you know, the horse world, especially as we get more online, can be really judgy, can be really like, you know, oh my gosh. And I'm sure some listeners like clutched their pearls a little bit when I said Gabe gets 14 pounds of equine senior a day, because that is a lot. But it's what works for my horse. And I think having the confidence to, you know, obviously I'm not just going at my horses with whatever, you know, but having the confidence to do the research, to talk to your vet, to talk to professionals, to figure out what is the best thing for your horse. And even if it's not what, you know, some influencer is saying on the internet, or, you know, in Gabe's case, what research shows us that forage first is best. If it's best for your horse, then it's best for your horse. And you should have the confidence to do that.
I mean, love that.
It's cheesy for me to throw in the one of a kind slogan here, but like,
I'll allow it.
I, you know, Gabe is one of a kind. Belle is one of a kind. Like every horse is an individual. So
it is true.
Having the confidence to treat them as individuals is what I would really encourage people to do, even if it's a weird thing.
I love that. I mean, it's true. Everything you said, absolutely spot on. And I love that that's the takeaway, because, yes, having the confidence to care for your horse as the unique individual they are, like, you can't do any better for your horse than that. That's awesome.
Exactly.
Well, thank you so much, Caitlin. I cannot tell you how much I appreciate your time and how much I enjoyed chatting with you. As you said before, for anybody who's listening, if you get a chance to catch Caitlin on the phones or on text or on IM, you are hella lucky, because she's one of the best. So I will just end this by saying thanks, Caitlin, and I hope we get to have you again.
Thanks, Jenna. Have a good one.
Hey, y'all. Thanks so much for listening. All this talking has done a number on my voice, but I should have just enough to get out this last and possibly most exciting segment, our first giveaway. We'll be hosting giveaways for all future episodes, so be sure to stay tuned till the end of each one. This episode, you can enter for your chance to win a Smart Equine branded backpack and a Smart Equine gift card. Not too bad, right? So go ahead and use the link in the podcast description, or go right to our giveaway form at smartpackequine.com/blog/podcast-giveaway. I know that was long. I'll give it to you one more time. That's smartpackequine.com/blog/podcast-giveaway. Entries will close 1 week after each episode's airs, which means you have until September 6th for this one. Get your entries in, share your feedback, and tell your horse I said hi. All right, everybody, that's it. I hope you enter the giveaway. I hope you enjoyed the interview with Caitlin. And if you catch her next time you call in, let her know that you thought she was great too. You can find links to today's guests and products in the show notes on your podcast player or on the website at www.smartequine.com/blog.
Remember, we are here twice a month on the 15th and the 30th. But in between, you can find us on Instagram and Facebook as Smart Equine, or you can shop online at smartequine.com.
Until next time, stay smart, stay hungry for knowledge, supplements, or forage.
And give your horse a cookie for us.